The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio here in Houston, Texas, as we continue to hit it hard on the gridiron, get you ready and preview the NFL playoffs. We're going to recap Black Monday and some of the movement that has taken place and who will fill those positions and perhaps what other NFL coaches are on the outs. There are a ton of headlines we want to get to over the next hour, including some college football. And we're delighted to have with us on our very first show in 2015 from Fox Sports New Mexico. That, of course, is Steve Bortstein. He is joining us on our celebrity guest line, driven by Stewart Cadillac. Stewart Cadillac, real people, real value, real simple, and by SCORE, the Athletes Network. There is no off-season at SCORE at SCORE.com. Happy New Year, Stephen Bortstein. How are you?
Bringing in the new year with Alyssa Walker-Campbell, there's no place I'd rather be.
Oh, and I'm sure you've already whipped out your handy-dandy notebook and you've jotted down all those goals that you have set for 2015. And I'm just wondering, what is going to transpire for Stephen Bortstein in 2015? Is it going to be personal, professional? What you got going on there?
You know,
what's the forecast?
It's a mishmash of things, Alyssa. But let's just say that, you know, in 2014, from a professional perspective, mm-hmm. was tough. I mean, there were a lot of stories that just we didn't want to cover, you know, as far as the sports world was concerned. Ray Rice, Adrian Peterson, the mm-hmm. NFL. There were a lot of stories that were uncomfortable to cover, the Donald Sterling story. But from a professional perspective, it was also invigorating to cover those stories because it gave us the opportunity to look at sports from a different perspective. And I mean, for me, from a professional standpoint, it was both exciting and excruciating at the same time.
Well, you know, you mentioned, you know, talking about Ray Rice, Adrian Peterson. What are our takeaways from that when you just kind of step back and when you think you know players, you really don't?
Well, I think we all know players. I think we all knew going into 2014 that athletes, by and large, a large number of them, not a majority, but a number of them, were sometimes bad people. I don't think we ever had any illusions otherwise. There are bad people who are athletes. What I took away from 2014, and I just wrapped up the 2014 sports here on my show, mm-hmm. but the number one story I said was Donald Sterling. And because whereas we knew athletes were bad people, I did not go into 2014 knowing that a personal, private conversation held between two people in the privacy of one person's own home could be recorded, distributed to a website, and then allowed to force the sale of a business from a man who owned that business for 30 years. Despite what we may think of Donald Sterling, and obviously there's, you know, a variety of thoughts out there about Donald Sterling, never in my life did I know that a personal private conversation could be distributed to the mass media and have his business removed from him forcibly. I didn't know that could happen in 2014.
Hey, times have certainly changed. We are so glad Stephen Bortstein is with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We are inside the Quicken Loan Studios, and one of the reasons we've invited you on this Friday night, we are very anxious, Steve, to get your thoughts on a postseason play in the NFL. The field is set. It's ready to go. We've got, 12 teams that have an opportunity and a chance at a Super Bowl. But I got to ask you this. How cool is it that this year's postseason includes a total of 5 teams that were not in the playoffs last year? You know, we're talking about the Arizona Cardinals and my Dallas Cowboys.
I think for the Cowboys, it's a great story. I mean, this team went into this season missing one of its biggest parts. You had Sean Lee, who had gotten hurt in the offseason with the torn Achilles, so he was going to miss the whole year. And obviously a lot of expectations were minimized with his injury. So when you saw this team get out to that fast start, and when you saw DeMarco Murray get off to that historic beginning out there in Dallas, you started to wonder if there wasn't a different vibe out there. And certainly Philadelphia, it took them a while to kind of get their act together. Washington and the Giants both kind of stumbled coming out of the gate there. So it allowed Dallas to kind of cruise out there for a little while by themselves. I thought they bounced back well after that Thanksgiving loss to Philadelphia, bounced back in a big way, and they come into the postseason in a good position right now. It would not surprise me to see them not only get past this weekend but make a legitimate run here. But I think even if it does come up short for Dallas in the long run here, because I still think Seattle and Green Bay are a cut above everyone else in that conference, even if they do come up short here, it's a huge win for the Dallas Cowboys this season.
Okay, so hypothetically, if they do come up short, what is the future for Jason Garrett?
Oh, I think the future is fine for Jason Garrett. If they make any changes, if Jerry Jones makes a change to that coaching staff, he's out of his mind. Now, if he loses someone, that's a different story. But he's going to have to make some serious decisions here. I'm not so much concerned about Jason Garrett and the coaching staff. I'm concerned about what happens with Dez Bryant. They're going to have to pay him a boatload of money. And DeMarco Murray, they're both coming up on free agent seasons right now. One of those guys has to get paid, if not both of them. And don't forget, it was Dez Bryant who said last month, you know, that he's a loyal guy, but don't test my loyalty. Those were his words. So I imagine he's going to want to get paid. And, you know, based on his performance the last month here, he certainly deserves it.
You know, I want to get your evaluation on DeMarco Murray. You know, he's a kid that came out of Las Vegas. I mean, had a terrific career at Oklahoma. I've even had a chance to interview him. But did you think that he would achieve such a high level of success with the Cowboys?
I think you have to look at that offensive line and just the job that they've done this year. I don't want to minimize what DeMarco Murray did, but I think you could put any running back behind that star-studded offensive line and get that kind of productivity. But I think a lot of credit. Also has to be given to Tony Romo. He put together a pretty phenomenal campaign himself this year. Look at the weapons that he had around him. Jason Witten, the old standard bearer, Terrence Williams, Cole Beasley came on late in the season here. Certainly, you know, Dez Bryant had his numbers also. I think when you have that kind of balanced attack there, it makes that offense so much more dangerous. But it has to come from an offensive line. And that line, which, you know, they've built that offensive line. That's a young, drafted offensive line for the most part there. Tyron Smith's come on very well from USC. I think that offensive line is really the real reason why the Cowboys' offense has had so much success this year.
You give a lot of credit to the offensive line for the Cowboys and how they quietly were able to build that. But what do you think about what they were able to achieve so far defensively?
Defensively, it's been a masterpiece for the most part. I mean, they ran into a couple of bumps in the road there with Philadelphia, obviously, and every team is going to run into those bumps in the road. The defensive backfield has been an issue. That's where they've had their weaknesses. Teams can go deep on them. They didn't get a lot of sacks, but what they did do was they minimized running games, and that was something that I thought was very strong for the Dallas Cowboys. They did well against teams that wanted to run the ball effectively, and they didn't allow that. So what Dallas's offense does is get on top early, force teams into passing situations, and then hopefully they can, you know, withstand that passing game. But the running defense did very well. The rushing defense was one of the better ones in the NFC this year. So I think it's a good combination. The problem is going to be when they run into a team in the playoffs, hashtag Green Bay, that's going to score on them early, and that's going to be a problem. If they fall behind a Green Bay, or if they fall behind a team that's going to put up points early, that's going to be a problem for Dallas, I think, down the road.
Well, defensively, they certainly have shown a ton of collective grit. Steve Bortstein from Fox Sports New Mexico joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. Remember, you can always join in and chime in on the conversation. Join us at Twitter at @eRadioSports and our podcast page. You can listen to all of our amazing hosts right here at Yahoo Sports Radio at yahoosportsradio.com. And, of course, always extending an invitation. Steve, I tell all the listeners where they can check you out as well.
You can find me on Twitter. My fan page over on Twitter is Fox1340AM, or on Facebook at First Sports with Steve Bortstein. That's the show that I host on Fox AM 1340, 93.9 FM. You can find us on the iHeartRadio platform by going to our website at foxsports1340.com. We post a podcast of our show every single day on our podcasting page, which has all the interviews from that day's show. A lot of good stuff happening every day, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Fox AM 1340, 93.9 FM, and on iHeartRadio, again, at foxsports1340.com.
Okay, Steve, you know this well. The Campbell boys, my boys, they love the Arizona Cardinals, and unfortunately, they are losers in the past two games, but the Cardinals are in the playoffs for the first time since 2009. Can they pull off a playoff win? What are their chances?
I flip-flopped on this game earlier in the week. If you had done this interview with me on Monday, I would have said Carolina was going to win this game. I'm shifting gears. I'm going a different direction, and I'm going against myself in one of my most reliable theories that I use all the time, and that is I hate the West Coast to East Coast trip.
Okay.
I hate it for a couple of reasons. Number one, the games are played earlier in the day than West Coast teams are adjusted to. Number two, because the game is on Saturday, they've got less time to prepare for it than they would if it was a regular Sunday game. That being said, Arizona's defense, I still think, is better than Carolina's offense. And I know Carolina's played well of late, but the last time the Carolina Panthers played a team with a winning record was back on November 15. They have played against garbage, I think, the last few weeks. Arizona, third-string quarterback, yeah, I'm not thrilled with that, but I think Arizona's defense can do enough here. And if you're talking about a team having experience against, you know, running quarterbacks like Cam Newton, I can't think of a better defense that's had to deal with running quarterbacks all year than the defense of the Arizona Cardinals. They play against San Francisco and Colin Kaepernick twice. They play against Russell Wilson in Seattle twice. They've certainly had their experience with quarterbacks that make a living outside the pocket. They've done well against those quarterbacks. I think Arizona wins on the road at Carolina.
We are up against the clock. Time now to take a quick commercial break, and we will be rejoined as we continue our NFL playoff discussion with Steve Bordstein from Fox Sports New Mexico. We will be right back. We are so glad you're with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, as we continue to break it all down with Steve Bordstein from Fox Sports New Mexico. And we were talking about the Carolina Panthers. You know, the good thing is on their side. I know you're picking the Cardinals, but the fact that they've won four straight games. And Steve, you and I, we both know this. I mean, momentum wins titles. I mean, what is going to be their keys for them to advance?
I think it's going to come down to Cam Newton. I mean, and let's face it, you know, the Carolina Panthers are a great story. You mentioned that there's five teams that weren't in the playoffs last year, in this year's playoffs. Carolina, surprisingly, not one of them. The NFC South traditionally is always won by a different team every year. Second year in a row, the Carolina Panthers win the NFC South. But what an abysmal NFC South it was. New Orleans was terrible most of the year. Tampa Bay couldn't get out of their own way. And Atlanta, of course, they just fired their head coach, Mike Smith, after another dreadful season over there with underachieving on their expectations. Carolina's to be commended for winning four straight games, but they're also a team that lost six straight right in the middle of the season. I think they're an up-and-down team. I think they're kind of Jekyll and Hyde. Defensively, they're playing very well. But Arizona's got weapons here. They've got weapons if the passing game does work. I don't anticipate this being a high-scoring game. I think this is going to be a lower-scoring game. Field position, you know, is going to be important here. You know, where teams get the ball, I think that's going to be important here. I think Carolina and Arizona combined might not even score 40 points in this game. I think it's going to come down to who gets better field position, who makes the play happen here, what defense steps up here. I think Arizona wins just on the strength of their defense and what they've been able to accomplish all season. And I think it continues a miraculous season for a coach like Bruce Arians, who should be coach of the year.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you. Hey, Steve Bordstein with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. If you're just tuning in, he is with Fox Sports New Mexico. And I know just a moment ago you were giving some love to Cam Newton, and their success is going to rely so heavily on him. But how impressive was his just his bounce-back ability after that car accident?
Oh, it's amazing. And it's testament to, you know, we and you've heard me before. We've talked about it before, Heisman Trophy-winning quarterbacks that failed to live up to expectations. And certainly the book is still out on Johnny Manziel and a guy, you know, we've seen a number of these Heisman Trophy-winning quarterbacks that can't get it done. You're rooting for Cam Newton now. Now Cam Newton's a good story because he did overcome that accident. It wasn't an accident that he caused. It wasn't an accident he created. He's actually a good story. He was the victim in this bad accident here. He's come back, and he's actually, you know, he seems to be a little bit more humble now. I think we've seen that throughout much of this season. We saw so much of it last year. He was pouting on the sidelines, earlier in his career. We're seeing a maturation progress, I think, going on right now with Cam Newton. I like seeing him. I'd like to see him continue his success.
Okay, talk to me about, let's hit on the Seattle Seahawks. Summarize their season. They are obviously the defending Super Bowl champions. Can they reach consecutive Super Bowls?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as much as it pains me to give credit to Pete Carroll, for anything because of, you know, his affiliation with USC and my my fascination with USC. I think a lot of this has to come back to the Percy Harvin situation. Look at what this team did after the release of Percy Harvin, because Percy Harvin's a cancer in a locker room. And since his release, since he was let go and sent to the New York Jets, the Seattle Seahawks are a more unified team. They play with a purpose. Their offense is much more balanced now. Marshawn Lynch has just been absolutely incredible this year. The defense has come around now. They're healthier. I think this team is more unified now than they were going into the postseason last year when Percy Harvin was coming back from his injury. I think Percy Harvin was a nightmare to bring there. I think behind the scenes that had to be just a train wreck ready to happen. Pete Carroll did the right thing. And if we've learned anything from watching Pete Carroll throughout the years, he is all about the unified locker room. That's what he's about. He was like that at USC. He's like that here in Seattle. A harmonious locker room is a better locker room and is a better product on the field. And I think that's what you've seen with Seattle these last 7-8 weeks right now, because they have been unstoppable. Think about this. 7 weeks ago, they gave up 3 touchdowns in a game against Kansas City.
Right.
Since that time, they've given up 3 touchdowns. Since.
Wow.
That's an amazing figure when you think about it. That's a very good football team right there. I think they're clearly the team to beat in the NFC.
Steve, are there any deficiencies that concern you?
If the offensive line continues to let Russell Wilson run around like a chicken with his head cut off, yeah. I mean, that's the one problem that Seattle does have, is their offensive line is so inconsistent. The beauty of that, though, is that Russell Wilson is a magician in the backfield. He gets out of situations. My worry is that one day he's not going to get out of those situations and he's going to get himself killed back there. But as long as that doesn't happen, as long as he's able to maneuver his way around the pocket and maneuver his way around the backfield and make plays the way he does, then yeah, they'll be okay. But at some point in time, there's going to be a breakdown on that offensive line that's going to hurt someone along the way. And that's my worry right now. That's the only worry I really have about that Seattle Seahawks.
Always got you covered with Steve Wortstein from Fox Sports New Mexico. Joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Happy New Year, Steve-O. And I promise we will catch up again real soon. Thank you so much.
Looking forward to it.
You bet. Much more straight ahead. Stay close. The new year, it has finally arrived, and looking so forward to an outstanding 2015. It is indeed a very big weekend in the NFL with the playoffs. And in our next segment with Husker great Jason Peter, who of course is joining us on our celebrity guest line, driven by Stuart Cadillac. Stuart Cadillac, real people, real value, real simple, and by SCORE, the Athletes Network. There is no offseason at SCORE at SCORE.com. We want to encourage you to check them out. How are you, Jason? Happy New Year to you and the family.
Happy New Year to you too, E. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. It's great after all the travels, and we were in Florida, we were in Branson, Missouri. It's great to be home in Houston, Texas, where it's a balmy 45 degrees.
Oh, that's so bad. Well, we've only been about just hovering above zero up here in Lincoln for the past week. So it's been cold, and you combine that with the traveling and now the sick kids and the sick wife, and it's the holidays.
Well, hopefully this too shall pass. You guys will get back up to 100% here soon. But we wanted to start things off in our segment, Jason. We want to get your perspective on the costly misstep for the Lions and Ndamukong Suh, and what his temporary suspension for stepping on Aaron Rodgers. Severe punishment, no doubt, but were you surprised that, he was reinstated?
No, I mean, he has numb feet syndrome. that's what it was.
Oh my gosh!
Cold out there in Lambeau, and you know, he's like restless leg. It's
you had a cramp.
Numb feet, but yeah, you know, I don't know. It's funny because when I first came out here to Nebraska you know, I had always been told that you know, the year or two prior that there was this defensive lineman here, and man, he you know, fits it. He everything you could want in a defensive lineman, but there's just one thing missing, and that is, you know, the attitude. And somebody had actually set up a lunch where we met Ndamukong and my brother and I, and you know, just talked football and the mentality and everything. And then when I moved back, we kind of reconnected again. And I'm not going to say mentor was the word, but you know, we stayed in touch throughout his career at Nebraska, and every once in a while we would we'd catch up and we'd chat throughout the season and stuff like that. And the thing that I stressed to him the most was he's got to have this, you know, going into a dark alley sort of attitude. And I said, if you can do that, I said, there's not a NFL GM, an active one, an old one, you know, up-and-comer that will not want you on their roster, because guys like you are not standing on every street corner. I mean, he's physically just bigger, faster, stronger than 99% of the people playing in the NFL. And that's what makes him such a difficult matchup for teams. And you know, did he step on, you know, Rodgers' leg on purpose? I don't know. You know, it's hard to tell from just the angles that we were seeing. But you know, stuff like that happens. And I'm not saying it's okay by any means, but I do believe Ndamukong hasn't deserved all of, you know, the criticism in terms of, you know, being a cheap football player. He has made his mistakes, but I can tell you, in the beginning, you know, there was a hit or two, like on Jay Cutler. There was another one, maybe on Andy Dalton, where it just looks more violent when Ndamukong does it, because he is so much bigger, faster, stronger than everybody else. And I think those first two hits on the quarterback that ultimately he drew fines, and people started to question him in terms of, you know, the character and what have you, I think that kind of started the snowball there. And then obviously you had the thing on Thanksgiving Day against the Packers a few years ago, and you know, that certainly you know, goes against having a nasty attitude in between the lines. I mean, that was something that I'm sure, you know, he regrets ever doing. But I'm not sure. I need some more camera angles before I say he did it on purpose, or I need to talk to Ndamukong and hear it, you know, right out of the horse's mouth.
Well, most folks and commentators are saying, and analysts, that it looked pretty intentional, and unfortunately he does have this bad boy reputation in the NFL. But I think what is worrisome and bothersome is the fact that, I mean, he really could have put Detroit's you know, season in jeopardy.
Yeah, and that's, I think, the thing that, you know, if you're the GM or the coach of Detroit, you know, you gotta, it's hard enough to keep guys healthy for, you know, 17 weeks throughout the season. And, you know, so when they're setting up rosters, they're trying to put together 53 guys who they feel, you know, health-wise, ability-wise, all of that stuff that they take into consideration, but they need guys that are available or they think can make it through an entire season. Just with health concerns alone is a huge, you know, obstacle that every GM and coach has to face throughout the year. You kind of hope that, you know, guys will take it upon themselves that they won't do something to jeopardize themselves or the rest of their team that's not really, you know, football related. I mean, you know, getting suspended for stepping on somebody ultimately really isn't football related. It's just kind of it's almost like getting into a fight in a bar or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just dumb to do, and you know, it's really just dumb. That's the best way to put it, because, you know, forget the money aside. You know, they're trying to win Super Bowls there in Detroit, and he's a big reason for where they are in terms of, you know, the playoffs and making a run at it. I mean, Ndamukong, it's, you know, his contract year is up. He's probably going to be the highest paid player in the NFL, you know, following this offseason. And you got to be there when the games really, really count, and that's right now. So he was fortunate to get it overturned.
Well, absolutely, I agree with you, because you have to wonder how much of an impact that would have had on Sunday's game. They're a big sigh of relief from Lion fans.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, there are charts, and I don't know them right off the top of my head, but just in terms of, you know, games that Ndamukong played and games he didn't, and the yards per game, you know, against for their defense is, 40 to 50 yards more when Ndamukong's not in there. The third down conversion rate for offenses, you know, is so much higher when Ndamukong's not playing. So he is a real difference maker.
What do you think the future is for Sue in Detroit? You were talking about that this is the last year, what, of his contract. He's set to be a free agent. Where do you think he ends up?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he'll be there, in Detroit or he'll be somewhere else. He's a smart guy. Don't confuse Ndamukong with the kind of big, you know, dumb jock sort of a football player. I mean, he was an engineering major at the university. He's very well versed in many different aspects of life. So he's not just thinking at it like, oh, I just got to go. Whoever offers me the most money, that's where I'm going. And, you know, not looking at the situation around it. And he knows that there's money to be made off the field as well. What he could look at in terms of if he stayed in Detroit as compared to, you know, going to a new team. Now, are all bets off if somebody like, you know, the New York Giants, come calling? Because here you're talking about, you know, being in the Big Apple and talk about things that you can do off the field. I mean, everything is, you know, a block away in New York City. He'll look at it in with more depth than just, you know, how many zeros are you know, in that offer sheet. There'll be a lot more, I think, that goes into it. I'm sure he would like to see Detroit win a Super Bowl. They were really not a good franchise prior to him getting there, and to be able to say that you were a big reason in taking, you know, a team that was at the bottom to the top, that's something that guys they would cherish that.
Hey, Jason Peter with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, giving us his reaction to Sue's appeal and winning that. We're going to step aside for a quick commercial break. We'll be rejoined with Jason Peter here in just a moment. Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell, wishing all of you tuning in tonight across the country a very happy new year. Remember, we absolutely love hearing from you. Join us at Twitter, at eRadioSports. You can always email the show. I hear from you guys, Elissa@YahooSportsRadio.com. We are visiting with one of always our favorite guests, that is three-time national champion at the University of Nebraska, the great Jason Peter. And Jason, before we went to commercial break, we were talking about one of the all-time greats at the University of Nebraska, Ndamukong Suh, and of course him being able to overturn that suspension. So, give us a quick hit on and preview on Sunday's game with the Lions and the Cowboys. How do you see this playing out?
Well, I think it's huge, number one, that Ndamukong is playing, because the area that is different with the Cowboys, and I think it's the position that has them in the position that they are currently and really throughout the season is the offensive line. And it's, if you're a Cowboys fan, I think you got to be thrilled, because if you're sound from tackle or from tight end to tackle, and you have players there, good young players, you can be good for a while. You know, you think back to the great Cowboys teams in the 90s, you know, and the late 80s, and that was the offensive line. I mean, it was, you know, the Nate Newtons and the Eric Williams and the Stipnoskis and all of those guys. I mean, that was the reason. That was the heart and soul. Certainly you had, you know, the Michael Irvins and the Aikmans and they're the superstars. But the reason that franchise was good for as long as it was because the offensive line and Dallas feels like they've got something good down there on that defensive line, on that offensive line. And, you know, you follow that up with DeMarco Murray and, you know, Tony Romo is playing well and seems like, you know, maybe the back isn't as big of an issue anymore. But here you are, you know, and getting back to Ndamukong, and now, you know, this is going to be a real test here, because Detroit is the best part of Detroit's team is that defensive line and the havoc that they can wreak, and, you know, being able to have those big guys in the middle, Ndamukong and Fairley, and, you know, they're about 8-9 deep on that defensive line. And then, you know, that's just inside. You got the edge rushers, the guys that are going to be hunting Romo, you know, all week, all night long. Mm-hmm. And it's a game, at least for me as a former defensive lineman, knowing what kind of goes on down there in the trenches. I'm looking forward to this one. I mean, I think it's going to be a great game. Do I know what's going to happen, you know, at the end? No. I mean, you know, you're talking NFL games, you know, flip a coin for the most part. You know, most games are decided by, you know, 5 or less points. So, you know, to think one way or the other, I mean, they're both kind of loaded with talent on both sides of the ball, and I'm excited to watch it.
Okay, well, how far do you think the Cowboys can go? I mean, can they make it to the Super Bowl? Because this is a team that has a lot of momentum, and truly the Cowboys, they are one of the great stories in the NFL. I mean, a lot of folks anticipated they're going to have another 8-8 finish at the start of the year. That was the projections.
Yeah, this is the thing. I mean, at this point now, anybody can either lose their first playoff game or they can win the Super Bowl. I mean, the Carolina Panthers, my old team.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they win the conference and, you know, with a losing record, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they're playing as good as anybody. I mean, on defense, you know, what they did in Atlanta last week and, you know, shutting down Matt Ryan and that offense and you know, Cam Newton seems to be healthy, and you know, the car accident
maybe is a
thing of the past, but at this point right now, it's really anybody's game. It's a whole new season, and what you did prior in, you know, the 16 weeks doesn't really mean anything at this point.
Hey, Jason Peter is with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. It is our weekly Under the Helmet segment. Of course, Jason is joining us on our Stuart Cadillac guest line and also SCORE, the Athletes Network. There is no offseason at SCORE at score.com. Okay, so Jason Peter, we have not talked about the great Johnny Manziel in quite some time, and he addresses the media about throwing that party. He says it is 100% false. Does his excuses, do they matter anymore?
No, I don't think in the eyes of the public. It's just people are, at this point, they're saying, see, told you so. And is it fair? You know what? The NFL is not fair. And it's what have you done for me lately? And Johnny Manziel hasn't done anything for them lately or ever. You know, that's just the reality of it. I mean, when people start talking about, is he even going to be back for, you know, another year, you know, that may be a little premature, but it's an indication of the, you know, the feeling. I mean, he was, I think, looked at, at least from Cleveland fans, is, you know, here, you know, we got LeBron, and now we got, you know, Johnny Football, and you know, our world is complete now, and you couldn't be farther, I think, from the truth. You know, I'm sure Cleveland fans maybe wish, you know, he'd go back to Texas A&M for another year. You know, look, the reality is most quarterbacks don't succeed coming out of college as seniors, let alone, you know, when you cut back 1 year, the chance of success, I think, goes down dramatically. Now, when you go back 2 years, I mean, I don't know. I can't, you know, when I think redshirt sophomores that came out, you think Todd Marinovich, you know, he's the one that sticks out, I think, yep, in most people's head. You know, most redshirt sophomores don't get an opportunity to come out and be drafted in the first round. But there's a reason why most at least stay till their junior year, because you're not mature enough, number one, to handle what comes along with being, you know, the face of a franchise, a quarterback in the NFL, and you know, you're also not mature enough to handle being on your own and having that kind of money and you know, having to make smart decisions, and you know, he's kind of mark the box on all of those when you're talking about Johnny Manziel.
Well, you just have to wonder, will this perception, will it ever go away? He's obviously such a big part of the team's identity. And just give me a quick hitter, or Jay. I mean, who do you think can help him change?
Oh, you know, it's hard to say. I don't know who Cleveland. I mean, Cleveland's got some issues, too. I mean, you talk about, you know, Josh Gordon. He's somebody who, you know, probably doesn't help Johnny Manziel. You know, usually the guys that are out running, you know, every night out on the streets and doing things that they shouldn't do, they kind of find each other in a locker room. You know, it's pretty easy to sniff out those guys, and if you're looking for it, you know, it will be there, especially as an NFL player. And he's going to have to make the decision up himself. You know, it's really, I don't want to say it's like being an alcoholic or a drug addict, where, you know, it doesn't matter who you surround yourself with. Ultimately, it's got to be you that makes that decision. But in a lot of ways, it is, in terms of him. And I'm not calling him an alcoholic or anything, but just in terms of the commitment mm-hmm. part. If you don't want to do it yourself, then it doesn't matter. You could have the greatest guy in the world, the greatest mentor in the world, living, sleeping, breathing with you, and they won't make a difference if you don't want to do it yourself.
That, of course, was Jason Peter with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. It is time to thank all of our outstanding guests in lineup. Christian Dyer with the Metro New York newspaper, Lee Klein with Slam Magazine, Steve Borstein with Fox Sports New Mexico, and Brian Jones with the CBS Sports Network. I'm Elissa Walker-Campbell, encouraging you not to drink and drive. Happy New Year to all of you tuning in. The biggest and the best in sports every weekend right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show.